This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanisen and Noel Lim. It's 8:36 a.m. Monday, the 12th of April. And in about 10 minutes, we're going to be diving into the subject of women in politics with Dinesh Prakash Chacko, director of Tindak Malaysia. We're also running a poll on the BFM Twitter account asking you what's the most effective way to enhance women's participation in politics. Let us know what you think. But before that, we're turning our attention to Singapore's leadership succession plan, because Singaporeans were taken aback last week when Heng Swee Keat, the Deputy Prime Minister and potential successor to Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong, announced that he would be stepping aside as leader of the PAP's fourth generation team.
This is to give way to a younger person with a longer runway to govern the country. So this has basically thrown a spanner in the works for Singapore's meticulous succession planning, and all eyes are on the four possible candidates. They are Trade Minister Chan Chun Sing, Transport Minister Ong Ye Kung, Education Minister Lawrence Wong, and National Development Minister Desmond Lee.
Following this news, Heng will remain as Deputy Prime Minister and Coordinating Minister for Economic Policies, but he will step down as Finance Minister in a cabinet reshuffle that will take place in 2 weeks. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong has agreed to stay on until a new 4G leader is appointed and ready to run the country.
Now, is this a major setback to Singapore's succession planning? And more importantly, who among the fourth generation of PAP leaders will lead? Joining us this morning from Singapore is Sudhir Vadaketh, political commentator and co-author of Hard Choices, Challenging the Singapore Consensus. Thanks for joining us this morning, Sudhir. So was this a surprising move coming from DPM Heng, or was it expected given his disappointing performance in the last general election, where he only managed to retain his seat by a lower margin?
Morning. Thanks for having me. I think it was unsurprising in a way, because as you said, he scored 53% at the last election, which is sort of the lowest ever for a putative, you know, incoming prime minister or current prime minister. But it was not just the winning margin that was so low, but also, you know, the speech that he gave on nomination day, where he stuttered and he fumbled. It's called the East Coast Plan speech, and that performance also really sort of dimmed people's views of him. So I think that suggested that he might not last long anymore as the incoming prime minister, but still, I don't think Singaporeans expected it to happen and not quite so fast like this.
Now, I guess the big question here is who amongst the remaining 4G leaders will take DPM Heng's place? Analysts have singled out Trade and Industry Minister Chan Chun Sing, who is also Heng's Deputy Assistant Secretary General within the PAP. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think, you know, the betting money will be on Chan Chun Sing, partly because he is supposed to be the favoured pick of Lee Hsien Loong and Ho Ching, his wife, you know, who still wield tremendous influence within the party. Now, the conspiracy theory with this is that, you know, Chan Chun Sing is just seen as a sort of a seat warmer, and that actually Lee Hsien Loong and Ho Ching are trying to engineer their son, Lee Hong Yi, to eventually also become prime minister. So that's the conspiracy theory. And you know, I think this move suggests that we should take the conspiracy theory a bit more seriously. The conspiracy theory, of course, has been pushed by no less than Lee's own siblings, right? Lee Hsien Yang and Lee Wei Ling have long been telling Singaporeans this very thing. So I think yes, people suspect that Chan Chun Sing is going to be the favorite right now.
What would Chan Chun Sing bring to the table?
I think many people see him as a, you know, very smart, brilliant guy who actually, you know, is able to, you know, he spent his life first in the army and then in the service, and so he's got connections around Singapore. He's able to bring that same sort of strong leadership and consistency that we've always had. Now the flip side is that, you know, he's prone to gaffes. He's not very good in terms of public speaking, and I think he's extremely unpopular across the political spectrum because of all these different things. He's seen as, you know, being a bit condescending sometimes, a bit smarmy, the way he talks about other people. So I think he's actually very unpopular, but because he's got powerful backers within the party, seems that he might be the favorite.
Why would he be the favorite if he seems to be unpopular amongst maybe the more grassroots voters?
I think the suspicion is just that, you know, the elder statesmen, you know, primarily Lee Hsien Loong and maybe some of the others like Teo Chee Hian, like him. So the fact that, you know, they still wield tremendous influence within the party suggests that he might be the favorite. Now that Heng has been pushed out of the way, at the 2018 party election, Chan Chun Seng was, you know, presumed to be one to be rising, but there was a revolt by the cadres in the PAP, and they chose Heng. And now, of course, the somebody has engineered Heng's removal from the top spot. So the suggestion is that perhaps now Chan Chun Seng is back in. But I wouldn't discount people like Ong Ye Kung. Ong Ye Kung is very popular. He's also sort of a strong arm type leader. He's very articulate, unlike Chan Chun Seng. He's got a lot of support across the political spectrum. I think Lawrence Wong, you know, is the education minister right now. He brings something different. He's a bit more unassuming, a bit more understated. His star really sort of rose last year because he was the face of COVID for Singapore. So, you know, he was seen on television. He cried once, and, you know, that made a lot of people sort of empathize with him. And so he's seen as a slightly different leader. Desmond Lee, not too much has been spoken about him up till now. He's of course a sort of a princeling. His father was a former minister, but his name has just been thrown into the ring, you know, last week once Heng left the scene. So not too much is known about him. But I'd say, you know, Chan Chun Seng is the favorite probably, and Ong Ye Kung maybe a close second.
So one person that will not claim the leadership post because Singapore is, and I quote, not ready for a not Chinese PM, is Senior Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam. But you've made the argument previously that these racist tendencies are from within the PAP party, not necessarily widespread amongst Singaporeans. Could you help us shed a bit of light on this?
Yeah, I think many of us are very sad that Tharman's never been in the running, and race has been given as an excuse. Now on the one hand, you know, Singapore I think has a fairly race neutral meritocracy. On the other hand, I think we've always seen sort of pro Chinese behavior and thoughts and words from some of the leaders. Singapore, of course, has a Chinese majoritarian immigration policy. You know, that's the most direct effect of this. We actually bring in more Chinese to make sure the Chinese majority never goes down. And I think that there's no history, you know, that Singaporeans have a long history of voting for Indians over Chinese, voting for other races over Chinese, if you look further back. So I think there's no electoral history that Singaporeans actually care about race at the ballot box. And there's this niggling suspicion that it's actually, you know, the PAP's long-held mantras. I mean, Lee Kuan Yew famously said that, you know, Singapore is successful because we have a Chinese majority and because it was an Indian or some other ethnicity. So I think this argument that's been pushed that Tharman can't be PM because of race, you know, I think really irritates a lot of Singaporeans. And if you look at the Workers' Party, which has engineered, you know, Workers' Party has risen in prominence over the last 10 years. They've engineered a wonderful leadership succession in contrast to the PAP, from a 64-year-old Teochew-speaking guy to a 44-year-old Sikh guy. So, you know, and Singaporeans seem to be very happy with a young Sikh leading the Workers' Party. So I think there's no reason why, you know, the electorate cares about race or age for that matter.
So given the recent events and the fact Pritam Singh of Workers' Party, you know, seeing his rise and his charisma, might we see the opposition parties gaining more ground in future general elections?
I think there's clearly a sense that the Workers' Party is on the rise. You know, they have a very well-oiled electoral machinery today. Pritam has just been made leader of the opposition. So you see the beginnings of a two-party state. And there's certainly a sense that they will continue to grow. And I think the sort of an important point I want to make that we've seen over the past couple of years and Heng's decision last week, you know, points to this as well, is that, you know, Singaporean politics is becoming like politics of other democracies. You know, it used to be the case that politics didn't matter here. You know, the PAP always said we can prioritize long-term planning over short-term electoral pressures. But I think what we're seeing, and you know, I think companies, foreign governments need to be aware of this. What we're seeing is that politics matters. You know, politics increasingly matters, and Singapore is just becoming, you know, like democracies that you see elsewhere.
Well, you know, when do you think Lee Hsien Loong could realistically step down and to make way for this new 4G leadership?
Well, he keeps delaying it. So I think, you know, there's some of us who worry that, you know, just his way of staying on and on and on and on and perpetuating the sort of rule of Lee's in Singapore. And I think that's the real worry for us. I think the soonest it will be, realistically, is after the next election. Now, of course, it was supposed to be after this last election, and now it's been delayed by one election cycle. I think the worry for us, of course, is that he just keeps staying on and you know, somehow, like I said earlier, somehow engineers transition to his son as well. I think that's the worry for us.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Sudhir. That was Sudhir Vadaketh, political commentator in Singapore, giving us a bit of insight into the changing political landscape there after Deputy Prime Minister Heng Swee Keat stepped down. So I think it was quite interesting, his comments about basically the fear is that we will see a continuation or a prolonging of the Lee family dynasty.
The rule of
Lees in Singapore.
The House of Lees.
So that's something that we will be keeping an eye on, seeing as they are one of our closest neighbours. But right now we're about to head into a couple of messages, and then up next we're speaking about women in politics with Danish Prakash Chako, director of Dindap Malaysia. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.